Bless the name of Jesus. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He would kill every one of us right now if he could. The Bible says it is because of the mercies of God that we are not consumed. He'd swallow us up if he could. He rejoices, Ellen White says, in war because it sweeps multiplied thousands unprepared to the judgment. I've been in combat. You know, I'm a lot of folk don't know it. I am the first one-star chaplain of the Marine Corps, not the Navy, of the Marine Corps. Okay? And then Operation Iraqi Freedom. And you should hear the language of soldiers in battle. It's almost demonic. You got to demonize the enemy. All kinds of horrible stuff coming out of your mouth when you are headed for the judgment. The enemy seeks to destroy. And if you don't know how to experience victory in spiritual warfare, you are in trouble. The reality is, more often than not, we experience defeat. We experience defeat for several reasons. One reason is because we fail to plan ahead. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 says, the prudent person sees the evil and hides himself. The prudent person says, I'm not going in there. The prudent person is like Joseph with Mrs. Potiphar, Genesis chapter 39. The Bible says not only would he not sleep with her, he would not even be with her. He would say, is she in there? Well, I'll come back another time then. Okay. I had a girlfriend at Oakwood, and we were very close. That's all I'm going to say about that, but we were very close. And, you know, the years went by. She married somebody else. I married somebody else. But we were very close. The Navy wanted to assign me, Chaplain Black, we want to assign you to the Naval Air Station Marietta, Georgia. But it happened that this girl, now woman, we were very close, worked 15 minutes from the Naval Air Station, and the Navy wanted me to be 15 minutes from her for 3 years. The devil is a liar! Now, I wasn't planning on doing anything. Happily married. She wasn't planning on doing anything. Happily married. But I'm not so stupid that I'm going to accept orders 15 minutes away. In those days, I was doing sub-5-minute miles. In other words, I could run to her in less than 15 minutes. You know, I mean, I had energy to burn, okay? And you're going to put a man who can run 3 miles in 14-something, you're going to put him that close to somebody he was very close to? You got to plan ahead, my friends. Got to plan ahead. Daniel 1:8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. It's a good mantra. Jonathan Edwards, first president of Princeton, at 17 years of age, made some resolutions. Google sometimes Jonathan Edwards's resolutions. This is a 17-year-old boy writing this kind of stuff. Resolve that I will never do anything that I would not want to be doing if I knew this was the last hour of my life. You'd have great clarity if you knew you only had 60 minutes to live. You want to go to the club? I only got 58 minutes now. I got other stuff to do, okay? Jonathan Edwards writes another resolution. This startles me for a 17-year-old to write this. Resolve that I will live in such a way that if God was looking for one person on the planet for a special assignment, he would choose me. God was looking for a mother for his son. Gabriel appears to Mary and says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Mary already has a fiance, but she doesn't say, which trimester am I in? She says, how can these things be? Are you living in such a way? Are you planning ahead? So that you are resolving in your heart, there are lines that I will not cross. Praise God. The second reason why we are defeated often in spiritual warfare is we overestimate our strength. Lord, have mercy. Mm-mm-mm-mm. You remember that prayer meeting? Peter wanted to inspire his Lord and wanted to brag, Luke chapter 22. And Peter said, Master, may I testify? Jesus said, go ahead, Peter. Peter said, I can't speak for Thomas. I can't speak for Bartholomew. I can't speak for these, but I am ready. You know how we do when we want to testify. I am ready. You know, he got that started type rise. I'm ready. Okay? You know how Pastor Started does it, okay? To go with you, he said, to go with you both. Come on now. Both to prison and to death. And you know that's a serious testimony. When I was growing up, Pastor, I hated Wednesday night prayer meeting. Number one, we had singers. You know those folk who sing their testimony off key? Jesus, Savior, pilot me. And that's my testimony. Lord have mercy. I hope that's not your testimony, but that's my testimony, okay? So here's Peter, you know, those competitive testimony. Well, I got to go back past 1950. It was in 1942. You know, those long testimonies. And then they're bringing you up to date. And I'm not even talking about jumping ahead 5 years. Now I got to get to 1943. You know, so we were going through that. So Peter's doing that. I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. Now, you never want Jesus to call your name more than once, okay? Jesus said, Pete. Remember, Martha. You don't want him to call your name multiple times. You were in trouble. Jesus said, Luke 22, 31, the devil wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to embarrass us. Okay? But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. See, you don't overestimate what you got going for yourself. You know, our greatest fear of sin, our greatest defense against sin is a healthy fear of sin. Okay. I was a counselor at the Marine Aircraft Group 31, and a woman walked into my office for counseling. And this woman was cover girl pretty. She was drop jaw gorgeous. Okay, walking into my office. And she said, are you Chaplain Black? I said, yes, I am. And I said, let me just say one thing to you. I'm not going to be able to help you. Okay, I don't know what your problem is, but I'm just, before you even tell me what your problem is, I just want you to know I can get somebody to help you. I got some numbers of some old counselors, but I'm not going to be able to help you, girlfriend, at all. So she said, please. She said, no, I heard you're a gifted counselor and that kind of thing. You have a doctorate. No. I said, no, ma'am. And I said, you married? She said, yes, I am. I said, well, if you bring your husband in with you, we know, I think I may be able to help. So here comes the husband in, and he's a combination Morris Chestnut Denzel. Okay. And the problem is, I'm talking about overestimating you. The problem is, he's God's gift to women. And he can't say no. Okay? Now, Pastor, the scores of times when I have seen married folk involved in an affair, the conquest is never even close to what they already got back home. So three nights later, my wife, Brenda, and I are out at a restaurant, and I look up and see Mr. Denzel Morris Chestnut coming in with one of his conquests. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, his wife was a 14, okay? I'm just going to be honest about it, okay? I got to tell the truth, Pastor. I'm up here preaching. I got to tell the truth, okay? He was in the restaurant with a 2.5. I'm saying, has he lost his mind? You see, the devil wants to make a fool out of you. You all remember Hugh Grant, movie star? Hugh Grant, very handsome guy, living with Elizabeth Hurley, who at the time was one of the most beautiful women in the world and had a British accent. Lord help us. That's a lethal combination right there, you know? And Hugh Grant goes out on the Sunset Strip and ends up with a hooker who looks like Marvin Hagler's twin. Have you lost your mind? My God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, let those who think they stand take heed lest they fall. Remember player? Samson? Player is a bad dude. Anytime on your way to your fiance's house, you kill a lion. And when you get to her house, you don't mention it to anybody. It's all in a day's work. My God, you a bad dude. You know, if I killed a lion, if I killed a cat, let alone a lion. Yeah, that cat, it was a big tomcat that came at me. But I'd be talking about it when I walked through the door. How in the world are you going to kill a lion and not tell anybody about it? You a bad dude when you can do that. Samson, you got a little dirt on it? I don't know how I got that on me. You know, it is what it is, okay? This guy, a judge in Israel for 20 years. I'm talking about, don't overestimate yourself. A judge in Israel for 20 years. And he's got enough sanctification that he says, I'm not going to sleep with any of the women in the church. Okay? Can't do that. Okay? I'm a preacher. I can't do that. But I'm going to go to a hooker at Gaza. He goes to the prostitute. Samson, it looks like they're doing something with the gate. This guy is so confident, player. You let them do what they want to do, baby girl. You understand what I'm saying? I think I'm going to take a little nap before I go. And at midnight, they have locked the gates. Now, if I were writing the story, I would have said, and the Holy Spirit left him, and here is Samson struggling. This man has the perfume of a prostitute on his garment, has been with the hooker and with Samson. You don't know how many times that might mean, okay? And Holy Ghost comes on it. The anointing of God comes on this fornicator, and he yanks the gate out of their concrete sockets. And he's so bad, he doesn't toss it aside. He walks up the hill. In basketball, they call it trash talking. When you want to get, they said that Larry Bird, who had a marvelous perimeter shot, was one of, a lot of people don't know, he was one of the greatest trash talkers. He'd be dribbling and two men would be on him. He says, how come nobody's guarding me? How come nobody's got, put somebody on me? How come nobody, would somebody please, and they were filing him and everything, because they can't stop it. Michael Jordan was trash talking number two, but they said, with Michael, if you can back it up, it's not trash talking. But here he is tossing it aside. But look at the devil. What Samson probably thought was one of his greatest victories, he did not realize, he was doing spiritual warfare, he did not realize that he had just signed his death warrant. Why? The Philistines got together and said, this is a national security issue. Anytime a man can carry off locked gates, Nobody's safe. Whatever it takes, no matter what the cost, we got to take this guy out. They gave Delilah 1,100 pieces of silver, a royal sum. Can you get Delilah say, I got this. I got player. And let me tell you something, player. I don't care how smooth you are, there's somebody who can play you. Yep. Here, Samson playing games, you know, you like, you know, on the edge stuff. You like danger because the normal stuff doesn't even work for you anymore. You want a little danger. Well, baby, tie me with new ropes. You understand what I'm saying? And I'd be like those other dudes you hang with. You know what I'm saying? She ties him up. Philistines jumping out from behind the microwave, the refrigerator, coming out of the pantry. Bible says Samson broke the ropes as if they were burned in the fire. You want some of me? I'm very sorry. Is this the right house? Are we in the right house? I told you this was not the right address. Playing games over estimating himself. But finally, she got to him. Oh, yeah, she got to him. Anytime you can make Samson fall asleep on your lap, as strong as he was, you put a whipping on somebody. Anytime you can make him fall asleep, my God. But before he fell asleep, I'm talking about experiencing victory in spiritual warfare. Before he fell asleep, he said, Delilah, he said, I got to be honest with you. He said, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. That's what it says in the Hebrew, okay? Yeah, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I've been eating these ham and eggs and that, but girl, I'm a Nazarite. I'm not supposed to be eating this stuff. I've been drinking Jack Daniels and, Smirnoff. I'm not supposed to be doing that. And, I've been having fun with you, but you keep saying, if you love me, love is transparent, Samson. I'm transparent with you. Why can't you be transparent with me? My God. Delilah says to the Philistines, come get him. Check it out. He has told me his heart. I got him. Bring the money with you. God never intended for Samson to get his eyes punched out. But God used that to save him, for I am told that there is very little adultery among the blind. Praise the Lord. Have mercy. Praise the Lord. All righty. Okay. Finally, we experience defeat in spiritual warfare because we underestimate the strength of the devil. I said it earlier. Please read Screwtape Letters. How many times the devil has played me? I thought I had it all going. You know, I'm a man of God. You know, you got to put that D right there. God, you know. You got to pronounce it right. Got to pronounce it like Elder Stoddard pronounced it. God. Yeah? Plays you. Uses you. One of the most tragic verses in all of Scripture, in Judges 16, he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. God left him and didn't even say goodbye. But you know what I love about God? God gives us salvation on credit. Okay? Okay. Samson, you've got a debt that you can't pay. Barry Black, you've got a debt that you can't pay. Earl Stoddard, yes, sir. You've got a debt that you can't pay. But I got a little something, something for the devil coming down up a little head. I got a victor who's going to come and he's going to pay the price. So I'm going to give you credit right now, Samson, for what's going to happen long after you are gone. Samson in that mill at Gaza pushing slave. Philistines, bring out the Hebrew champion. Let's make sport. And now the man who was so powerful, he could walk off with the gate, is being led by a child. But Samson is sagacious. Samson is a warrior. This brother slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a dead donkey. Bad brother. Anytime you pick up a jawbone of a donkey and say, bring it on. You're bad. When you can do that. You know how brittle a skeleton and beat him into next week? One man? Yes, sir. Samson told the child, just take me to where the pillars that support this whole temple of Dagon is. Where he weak. But you know, I'm so glad I serve a merciful God. Even when I betray him, even when I betray my legacy, even when I betray my birthright, when I call on him, Samson said, Lord, remember how we used to commune with one another. Lord, remember how your anointing used to flow through me and I could do supernatural things. Lord, I know I'm unworthy. I don't deserve it. I can't see. I'm just a fraction of what I used to be. But don't let me go out like this. I want to feel the flow of your spirit. Oh, Jehovah, do it for me one more time. Oh, bless his holy name. And God, knowing that a greater champion than Samson was on the way. Oh, he's my champion. I call him Jesus. He's my champion. He's the one who can make a way out of no way. He's the one who can give me victory over the devil. He's the one who can make me do right when I want to do wrong. The philosopher Luther Ingram once observed, if loving you is wrong, Lord Jesus, I don't want to be right, but Lord have mercy. God makes me want to do right, even when I want to do wrong. Preachers and teachers have made their appeal, marching like soldiers on life's battlefield. When to their pleading, my poor heart would yield. All that I know, there is something within, something within me that holdeth the reins, something within me that banishes pain, something within me I cannot explain. All that I know, there is something within. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Now let me tell you one more thing and then I'm out of your way. My sisters and brothers, if you're going to experience victory in spiritual warfare, you've got to start planning ahead. If you're going to experience victory in spiritual warfare, you're going to have to stop overestimating your strength and start building a hedge of protection about yourself. If you're going to experience victory in spiritual warfare, you're going to have to stop underestimating the strength of the devil, and you're going to have to start making Jesus your first option, not your last option. You better call on Matthew 14 says of Peter, and beginning to sink. He wasn't sinking yet. He was beginning to sink. You see, only you know when you are beginning to sink. When you're beginning to sink, church folks still think you got it all together. When you're beginning to sink, you're still talking about happy Sabbath, everybody. That's when you call on, Lord, save me. But God told me to tell you that the key to experiencing victory in spiritual warfare, 1 Peter 9, praise God. 1 Peter 9, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 5. It doesn't have verse. It says here in verse 10, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus, so that after you have suffered a little while. That you'd suffer a little while. Okay? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
I'm sorry, 1 Peter 5.
2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, for our light affliction, which are only for a moment, will seem insignificant in glory. You're just suffering a little while. Hold on. Just a little while longer. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Suffering a little while. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, wait a minute, chaplain. Are you telling me that my divorce was a light and momentary affliction? You don't know what you're talking about. Are you telling me that losing my child was a light and momentary affliction? I can't say that. Paul is saying from the perspective of eternity. You know, you looking back. And imagine Elder Stoddard and I are kicking it around the tree of life in heaven. And I said, Stoddard, man, how long have we been up here now? And he said, well, last time I counted, I think it's about 900,000 years, isn't it? But isn't this about the 900,000 a year? Like, yeah, you know, Earl, but you know, when Rosemary broke up with me in my sophomore, I know it's been 900,000 years, but I still can't get that pain. Are you serious? How long we been? 2 billion years? Yeah, but that divorce, that painful. Are you serious? 10 billion years into eternity, that pancreatic cancer is going to seem like a gateway from time into eternity. Are you serious? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, this earthly tent, if it's dissolved, we have a building. Hallelujah. Not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so we look at our scripture passage again. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Worries and anxieties are material for your prayer life. I used to have about 2 minutes of halfway decent prayer material until I became a parent. Yeah. And you know, you look, and you stay a parent. Even when they 30, 40, you stay a parent. You know? But praise God, I can cast all of my cares upon him because he cares for me. I wonder if there's someone who with me is willing to say, Lord, I have been overestimating myself. I've been giving myself far more credit than I deserve. I'm a lot weaker than I thought I was. But by your grace and by your power, I'm going to start building hedges about me. I'm going to avoid 1 Thessalonians 5:22, the very appearance of evil. By your grace and by your power, through the might of Jesus Christ, my champion, who paid it all on Calvary, I'm going to experience victory in spiritual warfare. If you're willing to say that with me, would you lift your hand and just hold it there? Heavenly Father, we stretch our hands to you. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. Oh God, seal this commitment to not overestimate our strength and our power. Seal that commitment with the robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Cover us with his blood. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. amen and amen. Put your hands together and give God praise and glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout thank you, Jesus. All right, praise the Lord.